Well, today I want to take just a few minutes and talk briefly, not so much about Jesus' resurrection itself, but about the resuscitation of one of Jesus' friends. His name was Lazarus. And so we need to recognize, I think, even on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday, that Jesus was the resurrection and the life long before his own resurrection. I think we see in our text that we'll read from here this morning a precursor to that great day that was going to come very soon for Jesus, at least chronologically according to our text today, when Jesus himself would face death and after 3 days would know the glory of the resurrection. Something that Lazarus, even after spending 4 days in the tomb and being resuscitated, as it were, being resurrected, we may say, from the dead, would still have to face. He would face another death, and he awaits the final consummation like we await the final consummation. We await the resurrection of our bodies as he awaits the resurrection of his body, which will take place in God's own time, barring, of course, the return of Jesus Christ in our own lifetime. And so our text today is going to be from John's Gospel, chapter 11, in particular verses 17 through 27. But let me set up very briefly what is taking place as we move into the text today. John's Gospel tells us that Jesus had three friends, and they were brother and sisters. Their names were Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they were from this small village known as the village of Bethany, which was about 2 miles outside of the city of Jerusalem. John's Gospel tells us that Lazarus had grown dangerously ill. And so Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, their friend, to come and to help Lazarus. Now, Jesus, according to the text, had been in that region of Bethany not too far back in the distant past. He'd been ministering in and around the environs of Jerusalem and what they knew at that time as the area of Judea. But Jesus had left because of persecution in that area, had crossed the Jordan River, and the scripture tells us that he was now ministering to the north, up where the region was where John the Baptist had been baptizing at a previous time. And so Jesus is now some distance away from the city of Bethany. They send word to him, and when he receives word, the scripture tells us this interesting thing, that instead of leaving immediately to go care for Lazarus, the scripture tells us that Jesus, loving Lazarus and his sisters, waited 2 days. That's an interesting thing that he did there. But after 2 days, Jesus said to his disciples that were with him, "Let's go and let's minister to Lazarus because he's fallen asleep." Jesus was using a euphemism that was common in that day for death. But it was a euphemism, right? And even in our euphemisms of today, they can mean multiple different things. And so the disciples misunderstood what Jesus said and assumed what he was saying is that Lazarus is sleeping in Bethany and we're going to go and wake him up. And so they said, well, Lord, wouldn't it be better if we let him sleep, right? If we let him sleep, he might get better. And so Jesus had to be very direct with them and say, actually, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad that he has died, so that the glory of God will be revealed to you. But now let us go to him. And so Jesus has waited 2 days, and it's a two-day trip to get to Bethany. And the scriptures will tell us, at least by implication, that Lazarus must have died very soon after Jesus receiving the word, because by the time he gets there, Lazarus has already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, the Jews did burial much differently than we do burial. Generally speaking, you were buried on the exact same day that you died. There was no embalming. There was none of that. You would simply be wrapped in a shroud, placed in a tomb, either in a dugout or under the ground. And so Lazarus, by the time Jesus gets there and we pick up on our text today, has already been dead for 4 days. And so our text today is from John's Gospel, chapter 11, starting at verse 17. We'll move right in from that background and we'll pick up with Jesus' interaction with Lazarus' sister, Martha. So John's Gospel's in the New Testament, if you're new to your Bibles. It's the fourth of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. And so if you'd like to open up your Bibles to John chapter 11, I'd invite you to do so. If you don't have a Bible with you today, we'll have it on the screen for you. It's our tradition here at LifePoint that when we read from the Scriptures, our text for the day, that we stand to honor God and the reading of His Word. So would you stand with me as I read from John chapter 11, starting at verse 17 and reading through verse 27 today. It says, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. You know, I think it frequently happens that our faith in many ways is defective because of a lack of knowledge. A man or a woman, a boy or a girl, they cannot believe what they do not know. And friends, there are promises in Scripture that will change your life. There are promises in Scripture that have changed many millions of lives. But if we do not know of them, if we have not heard of them, if we have not read them, they cannot have that impact on our lives. There are some who, having read it and having heard about it, have never paused long enough over some of these promises to actually consider them and to think through them. There are some who have heard and have read and yet simply do not believe. And in so doing, we find oftentimes, and I find at least in ministry, that many are, I think, needlessly distressed, because in reality, their comfort, their hope lies very, very close at hand. They simply do not have the information. For those of us who know Christ here today, it may very well be that you have not yet learned enough of the gospel message, the doctrines that are tied to the gospel. And because of that, you've also lack comfort in your faith. You may hold on to some interesting and maybe even some very vital facts about God's revelation, but you do not yet know the part that will actually save you from your sin, that will save you from your distress. And so it is, I think, with Martha in our story today. The Son of God, who is the creator of all things, is standing right there in front of her. He's at her threshold. And although Jesus had become her friend, and Jesus had become the friend of her sister Mary, and Jesus had become the friend of her brother Lazarus, and even though she knew vital facts about him, her faith had not yet come into full bloom. She had not confessed her faith in Christ, and therefore I think she was needlessly full of grief and concern given the circumstances that her brother had just passed away. Even in light of that, I think there was much more hope for Martha had she only had the information, had she only placed her faith in Christ. I find this to be true, I think, of many that I come across in the faith, and at times even sadly true of myself as well. There can be a great cloudiness about our faith. We believe in God, we believe in Jesus, we maybe even to answer mostly correctly all the questions that may be asked about God. But when we are asked directly, "What do you believe about the gospel?" many respond something to the effect of, "Well, I believe what the church believes." And so we say, "Well, what does the church believe about the gospel?" And we respond, "Well, the church believes what I believe." And so then we try to get to the point and say, "What do you and the church believe about the gospel?" And oftentimes the response is something like, "Well, we would believe the same thing." Or in other words, there's a great cloudiness about what we believe, right? There's a great cloudiness about what we've placed our hope in, and there's a cloudiness about what the church even believes in. Abraham Lincoln said, "It's better to remain silent and to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and to remove all doubt." And I think that's true for so many of us when we're asked about our faith. We just figure it might be better if I say nothing, right? For fear of saying something wrong. Or for fear of saying that something that demonstrates that I really don't really understand who Jesus is. The claim that Jesus is making on my life. Martha, I think, demonstrated an incredible amount of faith in Jesus. She says to him, "If you had been here," I think we may read in that a gentle rebuke, right? "Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now," even given all of that, I believe that whatever you ask of God, he will give to you. Now, there's actually a lot of debate over what Martha means here. Does she mean that she believes that Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead? I suspect that the answer to that is no, given the rest of the text, given the context of the situation. Does she believe that Jesus is somehow going to comfort her and Mary in her brother's death? Probably. Does she think that maybe Jesus is going to take this opportunity to preach to the crowds who have come and gathered from Jerusalem to be there for the funeral? I think that's likely as well. She thinks Jesus is going to use this opportunity. Maybe Martha thinks something as miraculous that Jesus somehow can spin time backwards and can make it so that Lazarus won't be dead. The reality is we don't know exactly what she meant. But Jesus says to her, Martha, your brother will rise again. And so Martha informs Jesus that she certainly believes in the general resurrection. Yes, Lord, I believe that he will be resurrected on that last day. That's what almost any good Jew in Jesus' day would have said. Yes, there's going to be a general resurrection. Yes, God is going to somehow, someday, raise everyone up. And they'll all stand before God in judgment. So she has a general belief that God one day is going to raise everybody from the dead. Everybody one day is going to wake up. I've officiated many, many funerals in my time in ministry. And there have been times that I've said words similar to what Jesus says to Martha. Your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, they will rise again. And yet never in any of those times, at least to the best of my knowledge, has anybody ever got the impression that I came to raise the person from the dead. They've never said, well, roll up your sleeves, Pastor, let's get to work, right? There's work to be done here. There's never been that assumption laid on me. I don't think that assumption is being laid on Jesus here either. But here's, I think, where the story begins to turn. Jesus now will lay a certain truth before Martha in very distinct terms. He'll leave the general haze of the resurrection in which she believed behind. And now Jesus will say to her, I who stand before you am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Do you believe this doctrine put in this very clear and very simple form? Very crisply put, sharp and definite and defined doctrine here. Do you, Martha, believe this? I think he brings before her mental vision, not some sort of a shadowy image, but a very, very solid and substantial statement that he himself is the resurrection in the life, raising to life those who have died and keeping in life those who, being alive, believe in him. I think he demands of Martha a decision here, even in the midst of her grief. Martha, this is who I am. Do you believe this? What I just now said about myself. I am the resurrection and I am the life. You see, Martha has been a friend of Jesus. She's supported him, I suspect. I think we can assume that she's one of the women who support Jesus financially in his ministry, supports him and his disciples. She's entertained Jesus and his disciples in her home. The scripture tells us that even after the resurrection of Lazarus, she'll invite Jesus and the disciples to her home again, and she will entertain them in her home. I think she's probably seen amazing things in the ministry of Jesus. I think if you were to ask her, she would say, I believe amazing things about this man. But I don't think she has yet placed her hope and her faith in Jesus Christ. She's like Nicodemus, I suspect, in John chapter 3, if you know the story. He's a Pharisee. He's a scribe. He's a teacher of the law. In that day and age, if there's anybody who has a relationship with God, it's Nicodemus and men and women like him who have place their whole hope in God. And yet when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and begins to inquire of him about salvation, Jesus says, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. You have to be born again, and Nicodemus can't quite understand that. But we think, I think, need to recognize that Nicodemus comes to Jesus as a religious man who knows all kinds of facts about God, who believes in the general resurrection, and Jesus says to him, you are not yet born again. You have not yet placed your faith in the resurrection and the life. And so it is, I think, with Martha. She believes the big things, friends. I mean, really, she believes bigger things than what Jesus is going to do that day. She believes that God one day will raise everybody from the dead. That's huge that she would believe that. What I don't think she believes is that God in Christ will raise one man from the dead. I don't think she thinks that's lying in wait for her and for her sister Mary and certainly for Lazarus. I think many times we all have a hard time believing in the specifics while we'll believe in a very shadowy kind of general concept of who God is, of who Jesus is. I don't think Martha's ready for the resurrection or the resuscitation, we might say, of her brother. Because the scriptures tell us that later, she and Jesus will be standing before the tomb, and Jesus will say, "Roll away the stone." And you remember what Martha's response is? "Well, Jesus, there's going to be an odor, right? I mean, it's been 4 days. 4 days Lazarus has been in the grave." Now, there's an interesting tradition, and it's based on some very good historical evidence. We don't see it necessarily in the Bible, but based on some good historical evidence, that the Jews of Jesus' day believed that the soul of a person hovered around their body for 3 days, waiting to re-enter into the body. But after 3 days, the spirit flies, because there's no hope now. The body, the flesh, has been dead for too long. It is fascinating, isn't it, that Jesus will wait 2 days and then take 2 days to travel to get to the tomb of Lazarus, finding that he's been in the grave now 4 days, right? So Lazarus now is not just mostly dead, he's really dead, right? And so Jesus says, "Roll away the stone," and Martha says, "No, that's not a good idea. It's not a good idea, Jesus, because there's going to be an odor here." Jesus will say to Martha, "Do you believe not only in a general resurrection? Martha, do you believe that I am the resurrection? Do you believe that resurrection takes place in and through me? And that nobody will be resurrected unless they're resurrected in and through me, in a relationship with me?" Friends, you may be here today believing, generally speaking, in the resurrection of the dead. You may be here today saying, "I don't know that I believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus, but I believe in a spiritual resurrection of Jesus," right? And if not in a spiritual resurrection of Jesus, at least in a metaphorical resurrection of Jesus. But here's what the scriptures declare to be true. And here's what we believe here at LifePoint. And that is that Jesus rose bodily from the grave. That he lives bodily. That it was a glorious resurrection. That he will never die again. And that those who place their hope in Jesus Christ will also one day know a bodily resurrection and will never know death again. This is our hope. I think this is what Jesus is getting at with Martha. It's bigger than a general resurrection. It's bigger than the shadowy idea of who God is. But Martha says, "Well, I believe in the big stuff. I just have a hard time believing you're going to take a dead guy who's been in that tomb for 4 days and bring him out of that tomb." And I suspect that's where many of us are too, and that's where historically many people have been. "Yeah, I believe in a general resurrection. I may even believe in Jesus' resurrection. But I don't believe in all these miracles of the New Testament. Come on, Pastor. It's the 21st century. Like C.S. Lewis said, after swallowing the camel of Jesus' resurrection, many still strain out the gnat of any other miracle ever occurring in the New Testament, especially resurrections and resuscitations from the dead. But Jesus wants Martha to know something here, friends, specifically. John 11 tells us that Jesus did indeed raise Lazarus from the dead. After a brief prayer that he uttered not for himself but for the crowd so that they would know that God sent Jesus, he cried out, John's gospel tells us, "Lazarus, come forth." And the dead man did that. He came out of the grave. still wrapped in his funeral cloths, 4 days after being placed in there, a dead man resurrected, resuscitated back to life again. And then the scriptures tell us nothing really more about Lazarus. We would love to know, what was he thinking? What was he saying? What did he see, right? But the scriptures tell us nothing more. I suspect if it had happened in our day and age today in America, he probably would have said something profound like, "What's up?" Right? I mean, I've been dead for 4 days. I don't know what's been going on. And all of a sudden, here's this big crowd outside of my tomb. Martha responded to Jesus appropriately, I think, when he questioned her. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you, Martha, believe this? And friends, on this Easter Sunday, in every day of our lives, our response must be what Martha's response was. "Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, I believe. I believe that you're the one who came into the world. I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you can not only raise dead people to life, but that you, in fact, were resurrected from the dead, and that one day I will be resurrected from the dead." This is our great hope of Easter, friends. This is the call of faith that I believe Jesus places on everyone. Not, do you believe general facts? Do you believe in a general resurrection? Do you know some interesting tidbits about my life and my ministry? But do you believe that I am the resurrection and I am the life, and that no one will come to the Father but by me? Do you believe this? Do you believe the specific truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus called on Martha to believe, not in abstract facts, not in her history with Jesus, not even that he might do something wonderful on that day, but that she would believe that he is in fact the one who is the resurrection and the life. And so Jesus' words to Martha at the entrance to Lazarus' grave are the same words that he has for you and me today. When he turned to Martha and said, "Did I not tell you that if you would believe in me, you would see the glory of God?" Friends, that's Jesus' words to us today. Did I not tell you that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God? Friends, I think contextually, he's not talking about seeing Lazarus raised from the dead. Jesus has already raised people from the dead. I think he's saying, "Martha, didn't I tell you? We just had this exchange, right? And I told you that if you will place your hope in me as the resurrection and the life, you will see the glory of God one day." Friends, Jesus is saying the same thing to you and me. Did I not tell you in the scriptures that if you would place your hope and your faith in me, one day you'll see the glory of God? And one day you will, friends, if you know Christ. If you've placed your hope in him, one day you will see the glory of God. And it will be marvelous. This is the hope of the gospel. This is the precision of the gospel message. Friends, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And as the Book of Common Prayer reminds us, he has trampled death by death. And he will conquer death in your life as well. And he will conquer not only death, but he will conquer the fear of death in your life. Friends, I guarantee you that if you place your hope in Jesus Christ, the day will come when the fear of death no longer has a grip on your life. Because you'll know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And though we die, and we will, barring the second coming of Jesus Christ in our lifetime, we will live. And we will see the glory of God. And so the question I leave you with this Easter Sunday is Jesus' question as well. Do you believe this? Do you believe this as you leave this Easter Sunday? It's my hope and my prayer that it is something that you've placed your hope in. And if it isn't something that you've placed your hope in, that it's something that you are considering even today. Placing your hope in one who said, "I'm the one who raises people from the dead. I am the one who will raise you from the dead. I am the one who has been gloriously risen from the dead. I am, in fact, the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Amen. Father, as we go this Easter, I pray that you would put that on our hearts and our minds. Lord, we're going to go and we're going to celebrate, at least most of us. Friends and family, we're going to eat, we're going to celebrate. And it's a good thing, God. And we thank you for a day like this that we can set aside and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I pray, God, that you would place on our hearts and our minds that question, that we would answer it, Lord, in the affirmative. Yes, I believe this. I believe it to be true. God, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you that he is indeed the resurrection and the life. Amen.